Glory be to God. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you have gotten a blessing from the Lord, from His Word. If you're saved, if you're born again, you did. If you're not saved, you're not born again, but you are interested, you feel a tug in your heart towards God, towards Jesus. Just understand that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, who has taken away the sin of the world. That includes your sin. And because sin leads to death and to eternal death in hell, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe in Jesus Christ right now in your heart. That's all it takes to be saved, contrary to what so many false prophets and false teachers and preachers have said. My dear friend, you need to do what Jesus said. Jesus said, believe in me. Believe in Him. And believe in your heart that He suffered, bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And He will, and call on His name, the Bible says, and He will save your soul. Dr. Ryan Barnhill said the importance of family devotions cannot be overstated. This worship in the home is our daily spiritual nourishment. Even though many families eat a big dinner on Sundays, they still need to eat food from Monday through Saturday for their nourishment. Likewise, we attend church on Sundays, church services on Sundays. But still we must feast on the Word of God as families in the home throughout the week. These meals nourish us, help us grow, and prepare us for life and for the things we should do for the glory of God. Please join me in praying for all Christian families and all other families. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the healing of all Christian families that name the name of Christ. And Lord, we pray that everybody in the family would come to know your Savior. For many families that name the name of Christ, we understand have people in the family who are still not saved. So, Holy Father God, open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears in every family that names the name of Christ, that they will be saved. We pray, Lord, that every Christian family that names the name of Christ would pray together, read your word together, obey your word together, and stay together. And we pray for the salvation of those families that have been neglected by the church of today, all across this country and around the globe. Forgive us of our sins of getting distracted with demonic foolishness and not obeying the Great Commission or the Great Commandment. And Lord, and we pray that you would forgive us of those tragic sins. And we pray that in spite of us, you would raise up laborers into the field to reach the lost families who don't even know you as Savior, and therefore they don't even know how to live according to your word as a family. And you're the one who created the family. And we pray now in Jesus Christ's name. and forsake. Amen. Join me in reading or reciting the New Apostles' Creed. If you don't have the New Apostles' Creed, you can just type in your device, the New Apostles' Creed / Daniel White III, or you can say the Old Apostles' Creed. If you believe it, say it. If you don't believe it, don't say it. But if you believe it, your life ought to be changed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Everybody should be saying it out loud. All of you people know it by heart. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, Peter and John, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Dear friend, if you believe all of that, then you ought to be a changed individual. We're back now at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, 23, 24, the passage that deals with wives. When God speaks to the wife, he speaks to the wife first. Someone said a long time ago that a good wife will set a good atmosphere in the home. She's the climate control. She will set a good spirit in the home, a good wife, a good woman, a good mother. And I believe that's true. But let's get down to what's really true, the Holy Bible. As God speaks to the wife first. This is a much maligned passage by the church. The evangelical church, the charismatic church, the black church. Women have even caused their pastor husbands to twist the scriptures, to say the lie that the husband ought to submit to the wife. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Is Jesus supposed to submit to us at any point? No. And he's, if you will, the husband of the bride, the church. And he does not submit to us. We must submit to him. And if we don't, there's going to be a problem called chastisement, whether you like it or not. That's the reality. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And see, you see in this verse here, God wants the wife to do it herself. It's better to submit to authority on your own, under your own volition and will. Wives, submit yourselves, do it yourself, unto your own husbands. That means nobody else's husband. as unto the Lord. You don't have to submit to another man. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. I believe with all of my heart, much of all of the divorce we see today is because wives have not obeyed this passage of scripture. I know your mind has been so warped because you've been under unsound preaching and teaching for years, and the government and the law has been twisted as well to accommodate rebellious and stubborn and disobedient and unwise wives, women, and so forth. But I believe that many, many divorces have happened because wives have not obeyed this passage. And all I'm saying to you, if you don't want to submit to a man, and you want to rap back and say stupid things like you're not my daddy, then don't get married. Stay footloose and fancy free. I wrote a book on this. I told women, if you don't want to submit to a man, and I agree, most men are sorry and no good. I agree with you. So why marry one? For what? But if you do, you need to do it God's way. I gave the advice. I'm a father of many daughters, many women, if you will. Many daughters. And God has blessed me to be the father of many daughters. And I thank God for that privilege. But I do know that women are not perfect. And men are not perfect. And most men are sorry and no good. And why would you marry a man that you know is sorry and no good? Just to say you got married for your girlfriend's sake? Yeah. Why get married to a sorry, no good man and then complain about a sorry, no good man to your girlfriend for the rest of your life? That's ridiculous. And then end up in divorce, putting the children, the human beings that you had together through sex, which you enjoy that part, but you didn't want to raise them. So you delegate them to others so you can keep on living your single life. And you mess up their lives. So don't even do it. And don't be a whore either. Don't be whoring around to have sex without the benefit of marriage. No friends with benefits. Excuse me, but hell to the no. No, sir. No, ma'am. No friends with benefits, unless this friend is going to give you the benefit of marriage. Now, you got to do it God's way. If you're a child of God, if you are a Christian, if you're born again, if you're saved, I'm talking to saved people, you know I'm right about it. Either get married so that you can enjoy the benefit of marriage, the act of marriage, which is sex. And don't fool yourself. All men and all women are interested in that. That's why they get together like a magnet. That's why they want to get married. That's why they want to do it right. And it's a beautiful thing. But no friends with benefits. There's some even more some good women who think it's okay for women to have friends with benefits. But if the good man, he's out there with this woman and that woman, and he's castigated. He's a bad person. I'm talking about church folks. Isn't it strange? In the church. If a man in the church is being a whoremonger, And people in the church find out about it, buddy, he's castigated, he's rebuked, he's sat down, he's talked about like a dog. And women in the church, all around the church doing it, the pastor's wife knows about it, pastor knows about it, and it's okay because she has needs. It's okay for the single women to have sex. No wonder the church is shut down. No. People, no matter how old-fashioned you think the Bible is, we as Christians must do it the Bible way, or we will reap what we have sown. Oh, yes. So don't get married if you're not willing to submit to a man, because it's going to come up. Several things are going to come up in marriage, whether you like it or not. They may tell you before you get married, it's not going to come up. You'll have these little metrosexual men tell you, you keep on living your life. You don't have to submit to me. You don't have to listen to that old preacher, that old crazy prophet, and all that. You know, I want an equal marriage, honey. I want an equal marriage. I need to see this. She said it's not working. You got your money and you got your job and your career and I got mine, and we just come together for sex, you know, and have a fun, good time and so forth. And they'll tell you that you're going to be my equal boss, lady, and so forth and so on. And they'll tell you that they're not going to ask you about your past and where you've been at and who you've been with, who you had sex with, and all that. But see, you get into the marriage and the heat is on. Things are going to pop up and crop up. One of the things that's going to crop up is who's the bigger boss. They had a song down in Jamaica. I was down there preaching. It was a popular song down there. I'm the bigger boss. It's about the woman being the bigger boss. Who's the bigger boss? The bigger boss question is going to come up. It's going to come up. Okay, and that's going to be a point of conflict in the beginning, unless you have a weak man that you can beat down, and then you become the bigger boss. And that's sadly what happens most times. Somebody has to be the bigger boss. Somebody. And somebody will. Because anything with two heads is a monster. That's why we don't have two presidents, two governors at the same time. You would think that having 12 governors of a state that we could really get some things done with 12 governors. No, we wouldn't. It would be a mess. This is why God and Jesus. See, I don't see anything wrong with having 2 and 3, 4 wives. Personally, I don't see anything, because I'm a sinner. I don't see anything wrong with it. But God has a problem with it. And down through the years, it's been a problem. It's been a mess. Envy, jealousy, all that. So it's best for a man to have one wife, like God created it in the beginning. And one wife to one husband. And if you're going to get married, you need to do it God's way. And you need to do it on your own, voluntarily. Don't make it into an issue. And if you're not willing to do that, stay out of it. Because there's some things going to crop up. This issue will crop up. It's going to come up in your marriage. And when the heat is on, questions will be asked about your past. So you might as well tell the truth up front. Because many people get divorced because they don't deal with the past in their lives before they got married. People were lying to each other. Men lie to women. Women lie to men. Men don't choose to tell the truth about some babies they had before they got married. And then they married this lady, and then all of a sudden the mother-in-law is calling, hey, your baby's mama is calling us, asking us for money. You better send some money. And your precious little wife says, "What money? What baby? You didn't tell me about this. This is wrong for you to do this. To pop this on me now." See, people get divorced for many reasons, for lies, because you did not do it God's way. You try to set up your own little marriage and family life, marginalizing God, pushing God to the periphery, and He does not like it. And it's not going to work. That's why it's not working. That's why the church is shut down right now. You can't even have a wedding. What? Yes, that's right. You can't even have a wedding. Not the kind of wedding you want. Now, man, he doesn't mind getting married in front of the preacher over the iPhone. With the power invested in me, I pronounce you married. But that woman, she doesn't want that. She doesn't want an iPhone marriage. She can care less about that. She wants a big wedding so all her girlfriends can see her get married. So if you don't want to submit to your man, your husband, don't get married, sister. Stay footloose and fancy free. That's my advice to you. I wrote this down in a book. I told my daughters the same thing. If you're not interested in submitting to a man and being a helpmeet to a man in his dream and what he wants done, stay single. Trying to have, both of you trying to be single, that's not going to work. Open marriage, lie, that's not going to work. None of that's going to work. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, always. Jesus is never in subjection to us. Never. That you don't even think that stupidly. That's ridiculous. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You want peace in your home. You want harmony. You want things to be sweeter and better. Wives, you need to do this. And if you do anything less than this, you're not going to have what you want in that marriage and family. You're going to think you got it because you got him under your thumb and you have beat him down to a little weak metrosexual man, and you got him dressed up in a pink jumper, a jumpsuit or whatever, and got him smelling like lavender. You need to quit. You need to humble down. You have conquered your man. Now you don't want him. Why is it that you don't want him now? Because you have conquered him so much. You got him wearing lavender and a pink suit. Got him sitting in his cage. You got him tamed. And some of you women are successful in taming your man that way, because he does not want to rock the boat, because every now and then he wants what you got. And you know what he wants. And listen to me, it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. Man's got to have it. Whether women got to have it after a certain age and so forth is debatable as far as a man is concerned, but women know. But man got to have it until the day he dies. And he does not want to upset you. That's why he lets you tame him down to a little puppy dog. Now you don't want him because you have conquered him. And that's why I say to the men, stay a man. Be a man. Look like a man. Act like a man. Walk like a man. Don't let your wife dress you. As far as the clothes she wants to put you in, don't put on any lavender perfume. Stop putting on lipstick. I saw a Christian man the other day. I saw a picture of him. He had lipstick on. Stop painting your eyebrows and all this. You're not a woman. You're a man. Don't go get your hands manicured. Don't do that. Let them be rough. That's what she married. That's what she likes. She'd want, deep down, she does not want you to be like her. Only to conquer you. That's the only reason why. Psalm chapter 22, verse 22, our devotional passage. Somebody says, I'm glad. Let's get to something else. Verse 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye the seed of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. And let me just pause right there and say to you, people who name the name of Christ, if you love him, if you love the Lord, as you say, fear him, respect him, obey him, reverence him, and give him the glory, praise, and honor due his name. Verse 24, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. Dr. Matthew Henry said, the Savior now speaks as risen from the dead. The first words of the complaint were used by Christ himself upon the cross. The first words of the triumph are expressly applied to him. All our praises must refer to the work of redemption. The suffering of the Redeemer was graciously accepted as a full satisfaction for sin. Though it was offered for sinful men, the Father did not despise or abhor it for our sakes. This ought to be the matter of our thanksgiving. All humble, gracious souls should have a full satisfaction and happiness in him. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness in Christ shall not labor for that which satisfies not. Those that are such in praying will be those who are much in praying will be much in thanksgiving. And that is so true. That is so true. If you pray much, you will thank God much. Dear friends, join me, if you would, in prayer for all people who name the name of Christ. who are truly born again, and for churches that stand for God. Pray for all government officials, no matter whether you voted for them or you like them or not. Pray for them. We're in a bad way in America when we don't like a politician so much that we won't pray for them and make it known that we will not pray for them. That's demonic, people. That's evil. I don't care who you are, Republican, Independent, Democrat. I'm none of them, so it doesn't matter to me. Let's pray for law enforcement. Let's pray for our peace officers. They're there to keep the peace. And I thank God they're there. Red, yellow, black, and white. I don't care who they are. And yes, there are some bad apples. Let's pray them out. But let's pray for those who are good people, who always wanted to be a police officer. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for the people who are hurting today in the millions because of loved ones who have died from the coronavirus plague situation. Let's pray for those who are sick as well. It is reported in the news today that most of the people in the Houston hospitals, the ICU, are young people. It was reported yesterday also that many people who were protesting and in the George Floyd protests are sick now as well. Okay, so pray for everybody. Whether you agree with people or not, you pray. Your job is, if you're a child of God, you are to pray for people. That's the least you can do. And to witness to people. It doesn't matter what kind of, what their position is on this, that, or the other. You don't need to be involved with all that. You have a mission, the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what's wrong with America. That's what's, because the church is distracted. The church is disobedient and stubborn and rebellious. And we wouldn't have all the chaos and hell we got going on in America right now if the church had done her job. Black and white, we're a bunch of hypocrites, phonies, and fakes in the church. And I'm talking about evangelicals, black and white. Pastors who have graduated from the best seminaries are at fault. And they know it. And right now, they need to shut up and pray. We don't need to hear from you about race and what's going on. Just shut up and pray. Nobody's listening to you anyway because you didn't witness to the people in the first place. You didn't do what Jesus told them. Why in the world would they listen to you now? That's why they don't invite you on television, because you don't have anything to say. And all you're going to do is compromise and compromise the word of God and lie and try to get along. They know you're not about anything. They know you're just about the money and keeping your position. It's disgusting. Don't get me started. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the privilege of prayer. And we pray for all of your true believers. Help us all to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for blessing us and providing for us down through the years with salvation, spiritual, family and life, financial, material, protection and provision blessings. Down through the years, and those of us, Lord, who you know are sincere, and those of us, Lord, who are willing to do what you say, we pray that you would continue to protect us, Lord, from this dreaded coronavirus disease, even though we're no better than anybody else, and we deserve to go through that hellacious experience and die and go to hell. But we thank you for your mercy, love, and grace, and for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins so that we can avoid going to hell, which we deserve to do. Let your will be done in all of our lives. And Holy Father God, we pray for all people in government, from the president on down in this country, and from the president and prime minister on down in all other countries. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the peace of Israel. And Holy Father God, we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, and life, and protection and provision blessing upon all of these government leaders, governors, mayors, senators, congressmen, state senators, state representatives, U.S. representatives, city council members, police officers, sheriffs, everybody. Lord, we pray for your leadership. We pray that you would lead, guide, and direct all of them to do your work and your will, because they're your ministers. You put them in authority for a reason, that they would do right. Have your Holy Ghost to restrain those who are evil. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, in this country and around the globe and in the media. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of the persecuted Christians in this country and around the globe, that you would comfort them, deliver them, and give them grace in their trying hours. And Holy Father God, we pray for the healing of the sick according to your will. We pray, Lord, for all of the families that have lost loved ones in the coronavirus plague that is increasing. And some people are using the word now, out of control in America. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you will draw the people who have lost their grandfathers, grandmothers, mothers, fathers, wives, husbands, sons and daughters, uncles and uncles and aunts. Lord, we pray that you draw them to yourself, these families, by the power of your grace, by the power of your gospel, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to save their souls and to comfort them as only you can. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Ghost would draw them to your Holy Word for salvation and comfort as well. And we pray for some of these by name today. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of New York church member Nancy Stevenson. We pray for the family and friends of Missouri church member Bill Allwig. We pray for the family and friends of Missouri church member Pat Allwig, another family impacted by tragically multiple deaths. We pray for the family and friends of Washington State church member Fidel Fuad Arian. We pray for the family and friends of Washington State church member Carol Brock. We pray for the family and friends of Minnesota pastor Craig Bremhorst. We pray for the family and friends of Massachusetts church member Francois Hilaire. And we pray for the family and friends of New York church member Subin Varghese. And we pray for the family and friends of New York church member Paulette Sanders Battle. We pray for the family and friends of Pennsylvania church member Judith Pope Gray. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives as well as our souls. And the souls of the people that we're going to pray for now, we pray, Lord, for the people who have sent in prayer requests to us over the past few days and others. And we pray for the thousands who have sent in prayer requests down through the years. Lord, hear and answer their prayers, hear and answer our prayers for them. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision, blessings upon them all. We pray for Naeem. Please bless them as they work to end the gospel poverty in Pakistan by spreading the gospel. Lord, we pray for Elaine, for the Lewis family in Monroe, Louisiana, who lost their pastor, Father Hilton Lewis Jr., and Mother Shirley Lewis, and son and brother Hilton Christopher Lewis III, to the coronavirus, for divine comfort in their lives and salvation for the surviving daughter, Sister Latera Lewis Cooper, who has returned home from the hospital after testing positive for the virus. Lord, we pray for Ravi. Please bless him with the sponsors he needs to establish a Bible college, an orphanage, and home for the elderly where they are. We pray for Vicky. Please heal Ruth's hip and take away all pain. Bless Gloria's team. We pray for Nicholas. Please bless them with online Christian volunteers to help them to design their business plan and webpage to enable them to launch their Christian school. And Lord, we pray for Jesu. Please bless him with a job. We pray for Henry. Please bless him with money to buy church property. We pray for William, for his mom, Carol, to be healed and help her to feel better, for everyone else who has the flu or coronavirus to get better as well. Holy Father God, we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And Holy Father God, we pray now for all of the people who have trusted in you as Savior through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry. We pray for Embassy. We pray for Nancy. We pray for Bit. We pray for Ezra. We pray for Doug. We pray for John. We pray for Joe. We pray for Nia. And Lord, help these all to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for the thousands of others who have gotten saved as well. Help them to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray, Lord, for these people who have said they're already saved under after they heard the preaching, but they wanted to come back to you and rededicate their lives. And we thank you for them. Help them to do so. We pray for Richard, Jacob, Lo, Ann, Sel, Brenda, Zeke, and all others as well. We commit these souls into your hands as well as our souls. Let your will be done in all of our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading today is titled You Are Not an Accident, Part 3, from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. While there are illegitimate parents, there are no illegitimate children. Many children are unplanned by their parents, but they are not unplanned by God. God's purpose took into account human error and human sin. God never does anything accidentally, and he never makes a mistake. Cut this on down here. He has a reason for everything he creates. Every plant and every animal was planned by God and every person was designed with a purpose in God's mind. God's motive for creating you was His love. The Bible says, long before He laid down earth's foundations, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love. God was thinking of you even before He made the world. In fact, that's why He made the world. That's why He created the world, because of us. God designed this planet's environment just so we could live in it. We are the focus of His love and the most valuable of all His creation. The Bible says God decided to give us life through the word of truth, so we might be the most important of all the things He made. This is how much God loves and values you. You're not an accident. God loves you, and He wants you to be with Him forever. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have not believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, understanding that you are a sinner, you have disobeyed God, you and I have violated God's law and word, for the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that rebelliousness and disobedience, right now we're headed towards hell, for the wages of sin is death. The body dies and goes to the grave, the soul dies and goes to hell, where Jesus said it is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and hell fire. So since we have disobeyed God's laws and broken His laws, that's our situation. But Jesus Christ has a special word to you. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ, when He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Dear friends, the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus Christ made it very plain. For God so loved the world. That backs up what we just heard from the purpose-driven life, or the purpose-driven life backs it up. For God so loved the world. That means that God still loves you, even though you have sinned against Him. No matter what you have done, God still loves you. So much that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave up His only begotten Son to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for your sins. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is speaking of Himself. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. That whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. That whosoever believeth. Believeth simply means to trust in, to have faith in. That's it, in your heart. You don't have to be a member of a church to be saved. You don't have to go to church to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't have to help people with food and things to be saved. All of those things are good and dandy, but they will not save your soul. Getting baptized won't save you. If you think you're saved because you got baptized, you're lost and on your way to hell. Baptism is something you do after you get saved. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says further, believeth in him should not perish. That means you will not perish in that awful place called hell with fire in it, but have everlasting life, that is, in heaven with God. So simply believe in your heart right now in Jesus Christ. The Bible says further in Romans 10, 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is really kind of an automatic human response. Once you believe in God, you believe in Christ, you want to talk to him, you want to call on him. And so believing in your heart in Jesus Christ is what saves you. Calling on his name is an outward thing you do from what you just believed in your heart about. You believed in Jesus Christ, so call on his name. In other words, pray. It has a confirming effect, if you will. And so if you're believing in your heart in Jesus Christ right now and you don't know how to pray to him, follow me in prayer and repeat after what I say, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. It ought to be the expression of your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I admit that I have lied before, and so therefore I'm guilty of breaking your Ten Commandments. I admit that I have stolen things before. I admit that I have lusted in my heart and coveted in my heart people and things before. I admit that I have dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my parents before. And I admit that I have dishonored you by taking your holy name in vain. And I've committed many other sins in your sight. And I am guilty, and I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul from hell today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old and evil life and help me to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Dear friend, if you just believed in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, you called on his name, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from that awful place called hell. And you are saved to that wonderful place called heaven. You're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, or my book titled, download my book free of charge, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.